this time. Kind of brought the mood down, but I think it's great.
There was once a king who had three daughters. This wasn't a problem because the kingdom could just as easily be a queendom. The people knew that daughters could rule just as well as sons. And the people in the kingdom were wise enough to know that it wasn't just the oldest who could make a good leader. The firstborn might be a natural leader, but the youngest might have skills for diplomacy. The middle child might be a thoughtful decision maker. And so the king had to decide which of his three daughters should inherit the crown. Now, I mentioned that the people in this land were wise, but maybe the king wasn't quite as wise. Or maybe his ego got in the way. He decided he would pick the daughter who loved him the most. So he went to his oldest daughter, and he said, "How much do you love me?" She thought carefully for a minute, and she said, "Father, I love you as much as gold." And he thought, "Oh, gold, that's valuable. And gold is essential for running a country. My daughter thinks I'm valuable and essential. This is a good answer." But he had to give the other two a chance to answer the question. And so he went to his second daughter. And he said, "How much do you love me?" "Father, I love you as much as diamonds." The king liked that answer. Diamonds were very valuable. Diamonds were rare. Diamonds were good looking. I wonder what answer you might give. How could you tell someone you really love them? Since Valentine's Day is coming up, we should probably practice. Anybody got a good answer? "I love you as much as..." Well, it's a good thing you have a few more days to practice before Valentine's Day. He went to the third daughter, and he said, "How much do you love me?" She said, "Father, I love you as much as food loves salt." Salt? Salt? Salt was not valuable. Salt was not rare. Salt was not good looking. The king was angry. He was insulted. His feelings were hurt, and he said, "Out! Get out of my castle. I don't want to see you again." Well, the youngest daughter was devastated. She hadn't meant her answer as an insult, but she knew there was nothing to be gained from arguing with her father. And so she gathered up a couple of her simplest dresses, she wrapped them into a bundle, and she left. She knew she would need to find a place to live and a way to earn some food. She couldn't go to friends or family because everyone she knew was in the castle and they couldn't help her. She sold the necklace she had and was able to get food and a place to stay, but she knew she had to find a job. And so she went out and she would say to people, I will work hard. I will do whatever job you have. I'm ready to start at the bottom." They looked at her nice dress, and even though it wasn't her fanciest princess dress, it was a lot nicer than most of the other people wore. And they looked at her clean hands, and they thought, I don't think she could do the kind of jobs that are at the bottom. And so she didn't find work. She traded in her dress for a simple gray wool dress, a big apron, a cap for her hair, and a pair of practical boots. And she tried again. But still no one wanted to hire her. And finally she came to an inn. It was run by a female innkeeper. And the princess in disguise said to her, "Your inn seems very busy. Maybe you'd like a helper? I'll do the hardest jobs. I'm willing to try anything. I'll sleep in the kitchen. I don't eat very much. Please, please." Well, the innkeeper looked at the princess's hands. No scars, no burns, no calluses, and she thought, "I should say no." But instead, she said, "I'll give you 2 weeks. If you work hard, if you follow instructions, you can stay." And the princess did work hard. She followed instructions. She started with the most basic tasks, keeping the fire in the kitchen going, scrubbing and peeling and chopping the vegetables. And the innkeeper said, "You can stay." And when the innkeeper saw how hard she worked, she began to teach her to cook. It didn't always go perfectly. She burned the stew. She overmixed the bread. She undercooked the cake. But she learned from every mistake. And she got better. Until finally the innkeeper said, "All right, you're in charge of cooking." Now the princess had always liked to eat. But she discovered she really liked to cook too. She was pretty good at guessing which flavors would go well together. She liked to be creative and experiment with new things. And the travelers who visited the inn noticed how good the food was. And they told other travelers that they should come to the inn. And soon the inn got so busy that the innkeeper said, "Well, you're head chef now. I guess we better hire you some assistants." And the food got even better. And even more people came and the reputation spread. Even some of the king's royal advisors came to eat at that inn. Well, eventually the king's oldest daughter, you remember her, the one who said gold? She was the one her father picked. Well, she decided to get married. And the king said, "We need to have a wonderful feast to celebrate the wedding. We need the best cook in the land." And his advisor said, "Well, Your Majesty, there's an inn that's known for its amazing food. Perhaps we could hire that chef." And so they did. And you might be surprised that no one in the castle recognized the princess. But she wasn't dressed like a princess anymore. She was dressed like a chef. And her hands weren't perfect princess hands anymore. They had burns and scars and calluses. But mostly, people see what they expect to see. They expected to see a chef, not a princess. And so they saw a chef. Not a princess. Well, that night, after the wedding took place, everyone gathered for the feast, and dozens of servants brought out trays of food. It was picture perfect, artistically done. Naturally, the king was served first. He took the first bite, and he made a face. He tried a bite of something else, and he frowned. He tried a third dish, and his frown turned into a scowl. And by the time he tried the fourth, he was furious. "Bring me that cook!" And so the princess turned servant, turned cook's apprentice, turned chef, turned head chef, came out. And the king said to her, "What have you done to the food? It has no flavor. It's terrible. Why have you ruined this feast?" "Well," she said. Your Majesty, I heard that you don't like salt. That you don't think it's valuable. And so I didn't put any salt in any of the food. Why would you... You. And suddenly the king jumped up, ran, and hugged his daughter. I was a fool. I'm so sorry. Can you ever forgive me? And of course, she did. And the king and all three of his daughters, after they feasted with some extra salt shakers, well, they lived much more happily all the rest of their days. All right, back at the beginning in the gospel reading, we heard that Jesus wants us to be like salt. We are supposed to bring out the God flavors in the world. What flavors do you suppose those would be that we're supposed to make even better in the world? Not the salty and the sweet stuff. What kind of good stuff? Excellent. We should make the happiness in the world even stronger with some God flavor. What else could we add flavor to? The love. Definitely. Make the love stronger. Joy, absolutely. Peace. For sure. Peace should be on that list. Kindness, yeah. Redemption, nice. I heard another one. Forgiveness, definitely. All right, that's your job this next week. Now, for those of you who are in junior high, this is not salty the way you might have used salty in modern terms. This is enhancing all of those good flavors. So, be salt this week and make those flavors even stronger. Thanks for your great listening and good ideas.
Thanks very much, Renee. You guys can go back to where you belong. And if you want to stay seated up here, you can.